He could do no deed of power there. So Jesus showed up in Nazareth and began to teach in the synagogue, and there were people who were amazed that this hometown boy had such poise and wisdom. Or maybe I should rephrase. They were amazed and offended that Jesus, the nobody from Nazareth, would dare to speak as if he were somebody. And today's reading says that he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. That's what happened. Perhaps Jesus was as stubborn as the people in his hometown. So he said to them, I ain't going to do nothing for you since I won't impress you anyway. Then he thought better of his stubbornness and healed a few people anyway. Or Jesus knew that the people didn't respect him. He knew that any powerful deed he did would be met with skepticism. So he didn't do anything to impress anyone. But he did heal a few people while the others weren't looking. Or Jesus would have done many works of power in his hometown, but the people didn't believe, so he couldn't. And then he healed a few people in private. Or it wasn't going to matter what Jesus did in his hometown. Some people were never going to think he was anything more than a carpenter's son. So he didn't even try to impress them. But when he saw some people who really wanted to be healed, when people who really needed to be healed, he cured them. Or Jesus looked at the defiant crowd and said, go stuff yourselves. He didn't give them the satisfaction of seeing his healing show. And then later he helped some people who weren't interested in a show, but rather true healing. Any one of those things that I just said, they might be right. Any one of those might be the best description for what really was happening in the first part of today's reading. You could think about it for a moment. Which one of those, or maybe something else that you thought of while I was saying these, might be the best way to understand this part of today's reading? And while you're thinking of that, just suppose that we took this situation, the situation from today's reading, and reimagined it and wondered how it might be in several different ages, not just the time when Jesus roamed the earth. Like, how about the early Middle Ages? We used to call it the Dark Ages. That's the time period that included Muhammad and Charlemagne and the Vikings. Maybe it would have gone like this. Jesus traveled to the place where he was born, followed by those who many thought were his subjects. It was the day to worship, and he disrupted the rules by teaching without permission. Things he said amazed the ones who heard. They could not understand how someone who lacked any kind of respectable upbringing could have any knowledge or power at all. They took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Your respect and honor is for anyone except the ones that come from here." He was disturbed that they would not believe. He went out to the smaller areas and healed a few people. Then he called the ones thought to be his subjects and sent them to the towns all around. He told them to take nothing with them and to expect hospitality from those they met. If the welcome was absent, he instructed them to leave town while making insulting gestures against anyone who refused hospitality. So they went out and told people to turn from their wicked ways. They cast out demons and cured those who were sick. Or how about the High Middle Ages? Used to be called the Middle Ages. That's the time period of the Crusades, of the Magna Carta, of the Mongol invasions. Some things will be similar to the way it might have been in the early Middle Ages. Jesus came to his hometown with a band of followers. It was the High Holy Day, and he came to the place of worship to teach. Those who were there did not understand. What is he talking about, they said? What is all this about love and forgiveness? What is all this with healing without total submission to God on high? And they took offense at him. Jesus told them that their ways of expressing love were completely wrong. But they had no way to see that from him because he wasn't one of the elite. He did heal a few people, but no one really noticed. He went and taught in the surrounding provinces. Then he gathered his band and sent them out, not to conquer in his name, but to share love and healing. He told them that they would be taken care of, but if they weren't, they should leave. So they went out without any weapons, and they preached about love and healed those all around. Or how about the Reformation? That's the time of Martin Luther, John Calvin, and Huldrych Zwingli. It's when they lived and preached. Jesus left where he was and ended up with his disciples where he was from. He went to church and started talking to the folks as if he knew something special. They heard him, but he wasn't speaking about the rules and customs they knew and understood. He even healed people who were sick. They argued with him and ultimately told him that he must not speak of such things. He had no business doing so because he was not authorized to speak. And furthermore, he was just a child who grew up with them. It took offense at him. Jesus told them that if he had come from the outside telling them the things he had said, they might listen. But they couldn't see through their preconceived ideas. He stopped at that point, though he did heal a few people later. He went to the surrounding towns and spoke with the people there, and then he called his disciples and sent them out with only the clothes that they were wearing. He told them to trust the people in the surrounding towns to take care of them, but if they didn't, that they should belch loudly and leave. So the disciples went out and told the people that God's love was for them and that no one could take that away from them, no matter what. So they went out and preached about faith in and from God, and they brought healing to many. All right, now move ahead to the U.S. Civil War. Folks like Owen Lovejoy, who is part of the history of the United Church of Christ, he was an anti-slavery activist and a friend of Abraham Lincoln. So that time frame, they were giving voice to the movement to end slavery in the United States. Jesus had been on the road, and he took some time to come back to his hometown. He had quite a following with him. He went to the church and began teaching that all are part of God's family and that no one should be treated as less than a person. Many agreed with him, as they had on the road, but others were skeptical and even angry. "Where does he think he is? Washington?" they said. "We know who he is. He's a nobody from nowhere, just like us. He can't say or do anything that will matter a bit." They took offense at him. Jesus told them that folks everywhere heard him and trusted in what he said, but to hear nobody could see past their ideas that he was just a local kid. He didn't do anything really impressive in his hometown, though he did make a few sick people well. He was amazed that they wouldn't listen to him. Then he went out to the local towns and continued telling his message. He called people together to those who were following him, and he sent them out to teach and to heal. He told them that to do no fundraising in preparation of and to go out without any supplies, that the townsfolk would take care of them. If the townsfolk rejected them, he said that they should move on and not let the door hit them on their way out. So they went out and preached love and equality for all people. They brought restoration and healing in towns all over. Now, how about the civil rights movement? Folks like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Otis Moss Jr., whose son is a pastor at Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago, and Jesse Jackson. Jesus came home joined with friends from all different backgrounds. He went to the church and started to teach about the equality of all people. He told them that he came to upset the apple cart of power. They were amazed at what he said. They wondered how this local child could know things of such magnitude. They didn't think he had the right to speak, being a person who didn't have the right color skin. They took offense at him. He told them that they couldn't see past their worn-out ideas of race and power. He didn't try to impress them, but he did heal a few people. Then he went out to the places where the descendants of slaves lived in small homes, and he started preaching. Then he called his friends together, and he sent them out to the small settlements and to the towns. He told them to just go, nothing with them at all. He said that the people out there would care for them, and if they didn't, they should kick up some dust and head on out. So they went out and told the people that they needed to get things right, that justice for all people was on its way. They found that people were changed by their presence. They preached and they prayed, and people were healed. And then in today's somewhat digital culture. Jesus checked in on Facebook and posted a few times on Twitter. He looked closely at what his closest friends were doing on Facebook, the ones who had tagged him with some new pictures. He posted some profound things in the Follow Me page on his Twitter feed, and some of the folks that were amazed that someone who had no business writing profound things was doing it. Several people made snarky comments about his family and his upbringing and pointed out that someone ought to talk some sense into him. They took offense at him. Of course, Jesus responded to their comments by saying that folks outside our community like me, what's your problem? And he decided that he wouldn't write much more at all for them. Then he went back to his Facebook page and his Twitter feed, and he told his closest friends to post everywhere, on Facebook and on Twitter and even on Google+, though he wasn't sure if he really should have included Google+, since nobody was there. He wrote to them and he said, just post the good news. No intense web design and no pre-planned discussion questions. Then he also said that if folks started making an overabundance of snarky comments and hate messages, that, well, they should just make an I'm closing this page announcement and go on to the next opportunity. So they posted and welcomed folks, offering them a reason and a way to turn towards the still speaking God. They prayed with folks in person and online. They offered words of encouragement and healing with posts and comments. Many people experienced a reconnection and restored awareness of faith in their lives. Folks, in any age, Jesus' message of God's love for all the world, it is a subversive one. It threatens those who see power as something to push others down. It threatens those who abuse power because they will become powerless. It promises healing and restoration for the ones who live in places of powerlessness and hopelessness. It promises unconditional love for all. It's not about patriotism. It's not about any form of national pride. God's love knows no boundaries, and God's blessings are not reserved for any nation. Jesus' message of God's love for all is a subversive one, and we are sent out to share that subversive message of God's unconditional love for all the people. That is our job. We are sent to share the story of how Jesus has changed our lives. We are sent out because of Jesus, the one who brings the good news, not just here in this building, but to people everywhere. Yes, Jesus even brings the good news to people in his hometown. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your subversive, uncomfortable, and loving presence. Thank you for giving us a reason to reach out. Thank you for challenging us to live your unconditional love, your radical hospitality. Thank you for teaching us and loving us. Help us to live your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.